Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers, your favourite podcast.
Oh, I love that. That was like the opening theme tune to Give Us a Clue.
Oh.
Do you remember that when they used to sing the whole thing?
The theme tune told you exactly what was going to happen and who was involved.
It really did.
Wonderful.
Every single person was named and their roles were described. This is what we need in our theme tunes, I think, is a bit more descriptive power. Well, now, we have got a very exciting episode and we've got a fantastic guest today. Do you know who it is, Jen?
Why don't you give us a clue?
Ooh, I'm doing a mime. And the mime I'm doing is
Does he do colouring books?
Yeah, basically. I was miming doing a crossword, guys, because we have the Times and Sunday Times puzzles editor and crossword setter extraordinaire, a man with so many strings to his bow. He has been a journalist. He's been a landscape gardener. That's not relevant, but you may as well know. And he's a keen limerick writer, as well as having this very fancy job at the Times and Sunday Times. It is Mr. Mick Hodgkin.
Very excited to pick his brains about gardening.
Yes, that's all we'll talk to him about. Nothing about crosswords. And because Mick is coming in, and I think, you know, talk may stray to crosswords as well as in many other pursuits, I have been treating myself to a rewatch of Crosswits.
Yes.
With Tom O'Connor. Well, initially with Barry Cryer and then latterly with Tom O'Connor. And, oh, it's been a delight and I cannot wait to tell you all about that, Jen. I actually can't wait to talk to you about crosswords. Let's just do it right now.
Straight in.
Oh, I've had such a lovely time. So now, for our listeners who don't remember crosswords, an absolute daytime staple. Amanda, our producer, was saying that she used to have her friends round when they should have been doing revision and studying and they used to watch crosswords instead.
It's a good warm-up for the brain.
I had totally forgotten about it, I'll be honest with you, and I now would die for it. I think it should be brought back. So, for those of you who don't know, it was a crossword-based quiz show and it was on for blooming ages. It started off with Barry Cryer in 1985,
ooh,
back in the day, and then Tom O'Connor took over. Lovely. Now, I mean, obviously, Barry Cryer has a very special place in my heart, and I will always love him. I'll tell you the first joke Barry Cryer ever told me, was a woman's taking her dog out for a walk one morning, and she walks through a graveyard, and she sees a man squatting down behind one of the gravestones. So she calls out, "Morning!" And he says, "No, just doing a shit." So that's that's a Barry Cryer joke.
I think everyone who's met Barry Cryer can recite verbatim the first joke that they were told by him.
I know, it is such a special gift that he had, isn't it? But then it was taken over very ably until 1998. So Barry Cryer did the first couple of years. And then the last decade or so was helmed by Tom O'Connor, who just one of the true gents of showbiz, ex-teacher, lovely sort of soft Scouse. I love all Scouse accents, but Tom O'Connor's was an absolute treat, wasn't it, Lord?
Yeah, very fondly remember watching Crosswits, and it was just Tom O'Connor I remember. I don't recall the format of the show, anything really about it, but I would always watch it if it was on when I was very small.
Well, he was a brilliant comedian, and he did, I think, get the balance of gags to sort of being kind and serious, and he did an incredible job. The guests, now, so if you don't remember the format, basically you had two teams of two. There was a member of the public, and they would compete alongside a celebrity guest. Mm-hmm. So Barry Took and Rachel Hayhoe Flint were the first two celebrities that I saw. So, you know, lovely comedy writer and genius Barry Took, and then sporty Rachel Hayhoe Flint. Oh, I tell you what, I watched another one as well, which was a sort of countdown special where it was Richard Whiteley and Carol Vorderman. Oh, God, it was so good. But yeah, they had sort of regular celebs who were kind. I think Barry Took was on it quite a lot. The format was very simple. They just showed you a crossword, and you either had a hint, a title that might give you a clue to what some of the answers would be, or you would just work it out, and then you would have to say what the unifying theme was to the crossword. But it was basically just people communally doing a crossword, which is something that you and I both enjoy in real life, isn't it?
That's lovely, though, isn't it?
I will sit, me and my husband, one of the few pleasures we have left in our life is we do sit and we do the crosswords together.
Yeah.
Love a cryptic crossword. And the beautiful thing about the Crosswits ones is they're a little bit cryptic, but they're quite, I would say, quite a good way into cryptic crosswording for people who aren't into it.
Yeah, because it can seem quite baffling and overwhelming. I know a lot of people who just go, oh, I can't do a cryptic crossword. I think, actually, yes, you can. You just need the right introduction. So maybe I'll just immediately get YouTube up and show them an episode of Crosswits. They went, okay, tell me more.
Treat yourself, absolutely. Well, because the thing that someone said to me very early on in my cryptic crosswording career was it's actually easier than a non-cryptic crossword because you're effectively getting two shots at, you know, you're getting told what the word is.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that clue, it will say what the word is, and then you're also getting extra little lovely hints and tips along the way.
Yeah, when you're doing a general knowledge crossword, or especially a quick crossword, there's often a few of them in there. You think, oh, it could be several things. I'm not going to put that in. Whereas if it's a cryptic, you know when you've got it right. And that's, I think, it's one of the joys of a properly good written quiz question as well. Suddenly it all drops into place. You know, this is absolutely the right answer. Yeah, there's no doubt.
Ooh, moment. I love it. I absolutely love it. Shall we have a look at some of these? I'm going to give you one where you have to find the connection between all the clues, okay? So firstly, you are looking for a six-letter word, and the clue is this king was mortified by Malory.
Arthur?
Yes, that's correct. Well, I mean, obviously I'm not doing your crosses and downs, but maybe I should publish a supplementary grid for the listener. I might do that.
And you're not doing your Scouse accent.
I might work on my Tom O'Connor tribute. Next one, we're looking for a five-letter word, Jen, and it's she can go anywhere on board.
She can go anywhere on board.
On board. She can go anywhere on board. And that is you on the cruises. You and Jane McDonald.
Access
and
all
Susan
areas.
And Susan Kalman. You've got freedom of the cruises, but it's not that kind of board. Not that kind of on board.
Oh, Queen.
Queen, exactly. She can go anywhere on board.
Lovely.
So he was called to Bray and Wakefield. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This one completely stumped me. It's a five-letter word. He was called to Bray, B-R-A-Y, and Wakefield.
Bray.
Yeah. They got it on the show.
Wow.
But I would have been here for days trying to get this.
No.
You'll have to explain it to me.
Okay.
The answer is vicar.
Oh, the Vicar of Wakefield, the Vicar of Bray. They're titles.
That's not an explanation.
Literary titles.
Okay, fine.
I suppose a vicar is a calling, isn't it? It's a
vocation. Oh, who's called? Yes. Oh, very good. Okay, yeah. Fine. When she's well groomed, she's given away. It's five letters.
A bride.
So bride, indeed. This is four letters. The first man to design fireplaces. The first man to design fireplaces.
How many letters?
Four letters.
Oh, right. So I was thinking it might be Prometheus or something.
Yeah, no. I mean, I get half of this clue, but I don't get the other half. But I presume it might be, is it a type of fireplace? But the first man is the bit that...
Adam.
Yeah.
Designed the first fireplace.
Yeah, I don't know. The first man to design. If any listeners want to write in.
Okay.
And then finally, we have a four-letter word again. Inclined to be slim.
Inclined to be slim.
Inclined to be slim. It's four letters.
Lean.
It is lean.
Yeah, that's more like a cryptic crossword classic. Yeah,
that's a great one. She can go anywhere on board and inclined to be lean. I would say those are very good introductions to people. That's how a cryptic crossword. That's how a cryptic crossword. Just leave it in, Amanda. Leave it in. I don't even care.
Cryptic.
Now, so you have all those answers. You have Arthur, you have Queen, you have Vicar, you have Bride, you have Adam, you have Lean. What is the connection?
Now, I'm very glad that I wrote these down on my little notebook.
Yes.
Because I started to think absolutely nothing. And then I thought of McVicar.
Yes.
As in, that's the film with, is that Roger Daltrey in that?
Yes.
And I had no idea why, that was the first thing when I wrote down Vicar that I thought of. And then, yes, you can put Mc before all of them to make surnames, can't you?
Indeed, yeah. So Mac was the, or Mc or Mac, it was the actual solution. And then Tom's little joke was, on the Titanic, somebody leans over one of the lifeboats and says, is there a Macintosh there to keep three ladies warm? And someone pipes up, no, but there's a McTavish who's willing to give it a try.
Hey.
If I could have done a Scottish accent, that would have been... If I could have done Tom O'Connor for the first bit and then a Scottish accent for the second, that would have been much better.
We can just imagine it, though.
Just imagine that delivered properly by a decent comedian. That's the basic format. And
lovely.
It never really deviated much from that. But I'll give you... I'll tell you what, let me give you another variant on the theme. So, and oh, God, the prizes. Oh, the prizes. Cordless telephones.
Oh, that's just given me a big wave of nostalgia. I would have been very excited about the idea of a cordless phone.
Well, because then you could have taken phone calls in your room without your mum and dad hearing, which was, you know, that was the big thing, wasn't it? Was that we had to sit in the hall.
Yeah.
And when, you know, Adam Hawkins, my first boyfriend, was, get in touch, Adam, if you're still out there. When he would phone and I'd be sitting there trying to have my little romantic conversations with everybody else crowding in and my dad, you know, making kissy faces. Oh, it was awful, awful. So a cordless telephone was very much the thing, wasn't it? I'm going to give you an anagram round. So this one, highlighted on the grid are certain letters from each clue. And then it makes a word that in some way is relevant to the theme.
Okay.
So I'll give you the theme, or the clue, rather. So the clue is reds.
Reds.
Now I'm going to give you all the clues, and then we'll find which letters we need to make the anagram. Okay. The first crossword clue is, it is 1, 2, 3, 4, it's eight letters, and it's a smooth talker with connections.
Oh.
A smooth talker with connections.
Eight letters. With connections.
Mm, who's this?
Mm.
Smooth. It feels like Leslie Phillips or something, doesn't it? Or who's a smooth talker? It's a job that no longer exists. That would be my clue.
I am a lineman for the county or something like that. Switchboard operator.
It is the second part of that, yes. Operator.
Operator, okay.
I mean, no, actually, presumably there are still phone operators, but we just don't come into contact with them.
Not that many of them. It's more digitised.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, imagine somebody on the ground though for when it all goes.
Yeah, well, you know when they open up those little cabinets in the street and then they pop a little wire in.
Yeah.
I think, God, that would be, imagine the power of having one of those little weird shaped keys that you can also use to get into locked lavatories on trains and that. Anyway, yeah, so the operator is the first one. Are they the closest residents in Ramsey Street? And that, I don't even think I need to tell you how many letters it is, but I will.
It's however many letters neighbours
is. It is that many. I think it's, is that 10? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It is 10. In fact, do you want to know the letters you need as you go along? So yes. O of operator, N of neighbours. The growler in the Arctic.
A polar bear.
No, no? It's, I'll tell you what, it's seven letters, babes.
Seven letters?
Yeah, seven letters.
Growler.
I don't get why it's a growler. The growler in the Arctic. I mean, it must be because it growls as it moves. I don't know.
Glacier?
Is that sort
iceberg?
Of thing? Iceberg, yeah, exactly. What? So that's I. But I've just realised it's always the first letter. Okay, this one is a bit trickier, I think. I didn't get this. Body part for a piper played in a loft. It's five letters. Body part for a piper played in a loft.
Played in a loft?
And on the show, loft was the thing that gave it to them. But I had never heard this. I'm not very religious or musical.
And like a pipe organ.
Exactly that. So apparently an organ loft is a thing.
Yeah.
Is that where they keep the organ?
That's where the organist would be perched.
Okay, perched in the organ loft. Yeah. So that is organ, O.
Ooh.
This one's a good one. Again, I think this is a very classic cryptic crossword clue. It's five letters and it's a rough copy of pumped ale. It means both a rough copy and pumped ale.
What's the length?
It's five letters.
Five letters.
Oh, they're screaming it at home.
Pumped ale?
Pumped ale, yeah. You've had pumped ales.
I've had pumped ales.
Yeah.
And
you
lager.
Go into the pub and you say, have you got anything?
On tap?
Oh,
barrel?
On?
Draft.
Yes.
Ah.
So it is the rough copy.
Oh,
D-R-A-F-T.
Right. Ah, that kind.
But it sounds like draft beer. Anyway, so we've got the D. Now we've got a D.
We've got the D.
Now we have a four-letter word.
Mm-hmm.
Stingy, that's what I have in mind. Stingy, that's what I have in mind. Four letters.
Mean?
Yes. Yeah. Straight in. There you go.
Yeah.
Then I think that's it. So okay. You now have all the letters you need to make a word. And you then need to relate that to the title, which was Reds. And
I've got Domino.
You have got Domino, and that is what it is.
Oh.
Because it's the Domino Principle, guys. You know the Domino Principle? Which is, I think, when one country turns communist, they all...
Yes, yeah. They all fall.
Yeah.
Fall in line.
Yeah, there you go. So I've learnt so much from Crosswits. I'd never heard of the Domino Principle before. I now have.
It's a political education as well as a linguistic one.
It's an extraordinary show in so many ways. Bring it back. Who are we going to get to host it now? That's the question.
You work on your Scouse accent and then we'll take it. We'll take it to the network.
Oh, who's a Scouser? That's a really good idea. Oh, Colleen Rooney.
Yes.
Oh, I've been watching that Netflix series of her, her talking about the Wagatha Christie trial, and I'm completely in love with Colleen Rooney and her mum and dad.
She
and
should
Wayne
do everything then.
And the kids.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I will put her in anything. So Colleen Rooney to host.
Yes.
Cara Vorderman can still be a regular.
Yeah.
That'd be nice. And who have we got who, sadly, Barry Took's no longer with us? So we'll have to get...
The modern day Barry Took.
Who's the modern day Barry Took? That's a really good question. Sort of comedy writer. Amanda Iannucci.
Yes.
There you go.
We go. We've cast it already.
There you go. So
we'll take a couple of points on the back end of that.
Yes. Get in touch, Colleen, if you're listening. I love you. So Mick, puzzle editor at the Times and Sunday Times. I mean, a dream job, I would say, far as we're concerned. How did you get there?
So I've worked for most of my career in TV news, but at the same time, for the last 15 years or so, I've compiled cryptic crosswords as a sideline. I've enjoyed doing cryptic crosswords since I was a teenager, and it was just at a point when I was working shifts in TV news. My two daughters were teenage and sort of not needing quite as much attention. My wife was out at work during the week, and I had time on my hands, and I thought I'd set my hands to compiling cryptic crosswords. And yeah, so I did that for a while. I'd been working for the Chinese TV news channel, CGTN, wow, which was kind of quite strange in various ways and a bit of pressure. And this job came up, and I applied for it on the basis that I understood crosswords and puzzles, but I was also a working journalist, and so I knew about deadlines and accuracy and things like that. Because for a lot of people who work in the world of puzzles and crosswords, they really like to just sort of be at home and create their own thing and send it out and not have to go to meetings and, you know, meet deadlines and, and all of that sort of thing.
Gosh, so yeah, you absolutely were the right man for the job. It's extraordinary, isn't it, to find something that's so tailored to your interests and skills. So you were saying that you'd started writing crosswords, having been a keen fan of them, and the hobby has blossomed into a job. What is it that you love about cryptic crosswords?
I just like wordplay, really. The clue is a puzzle that you have to tease out. They can just be so clever, some of them, but it's also a way of looking at words. If you look at a bottle of Evian and you think that's naive backwards, then you're in that that mindset,
constantly anagramizing things. And well, we were saying as well, the beautiful moment where the answer becomes clear, the clouds part, and you find your crossword answer. It's such that moment of going, oh, that's beautiful.
Yes.
There is a real beauty in language like that, isn't
there? The penny drop moment.
Who are your favourite setters? Do you have any particular setters that you love?
Oh, yeah. I mean, lots of them. Of course, the Times is a little bit different because we don't have pseudonyms for the main cryptic crossword, so you don't always know who it is. I mean, I can find out so I can go and check afterwards. A lot of the crossword compilers compile for more than one or even all of the main daily crosswords. So, for example, you know, I really like Arachne and Picaroon. Those are Guardian pseudonyms. I think both of them also compile for the Times. Anax, who's Dean Mayer, who compiles for the Sunday Times, where we have names rather than pseudonyms. And then Enigmatist, who's Nimrod in the Independent, is another good one. Yeah, lots of great, there's, you know, lots of great setters around.
Yeah, there's great talent out there. Because, Jenny, you're a Guardian every day.
Yes. If you're thinking the Guardian,
have you got your favourites?
I haven't quite worked out my very favourites, actually. I don't know if it is a truism, but the days of the week, I like the Monday one. I can really make an inroad into that, probably by myself. But by Thursday, Friday, I need assistance. So it's a team job.
most of them do get harder as the week goes on, yeah.
Yeah, and your weekend, you think, well, you really would need a whole weekend to, you know, some of your prize crosswords at the weekend. It's like, God, I'm going to have to clear the schedules entirely, tell the children to get their own tea and carry on with it. The crossword championships you mentioned, so this episode is very fresh. We have a new crossword champion, right?
Absolutely, we do, yes.
Tell us about the excitement. I wish I'd gone. We didn't.
Yeah, no, I didn't know.
Tell us everything about the crossword championship.
Well, okay. So the Times Crossword Championship was first held in 1970. So it's over 50 years old. There have been a few gaps here and there. And the most recent one was that this was the first competition we've held since 2019. Mm-hmm. Obviously, 2020, nothing happened because of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's just taken a little while to get it going again since then. So I'm hoping this is the start of another good run of it. But everyone was obviously very enthusiastic about it as a result of that. In terms of the winners, Mark Goodliffe, who is an absolute monster of speed solving and accuracy of crosswords, has won 12 times.
Wow.
Including 11 of the 12 previous to this.
Gosh.
He was beaten in 2018 when he made a mistake. Ooh. So obviously we go into it every year with the expectation that for everyone else, they're trying to beat Mark.
Yes. I mean,
obviously the favourite.
Yeah.
But Mark himself was downplaying that a bit because, you know, people record their solving times on the Crossword Club leaderboards.
Yeah.
And there are certainly quite a few people who are coming in faster. Mm. That's solving online, of course. And for some people, the transition to doing it on pen and paper is also quite different.
Yes. I mean, what kind of touch? Because, you know, I mean, I'm looking at about an hour. So, you know, I really think I might be in with a chance next time. What kind of times are we looking
at? People coming in on the leaderboard at sort of 4 or 5 minutes.
Wow.
And so in terms of the competition, we had 112 participants in the end, I think. And we had a sort of preliminary round. They've had an hour to solve 3 puzzles and 60 went through to the next round.
Mm-hmm.
All 60 of the top people there managed to complete all of 3 puzzles within the hour. Not all the competitors did, but all of the ones who went through did.
Mm-hmm.
Second puzzles, obviously a bit harder, and a few mistakes crept in. So Mark Goodliffe finished a clear 5 minutes before anyone else, finished all three puzzles in about 20 minutes or something. But he made a mistake.
Oh, no.
Oh, Mark.
And so he wasn't in the grand final. We had three people in the grand final.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. It's, I mean, you know, Mark absolutely must be kicking himself.
Absolutely. And also, I mean, I was sitting there watching from the stage at the front, and I could see that he realised quite soon after that he made a mistake. And he said this afterwards, because it's the time pressure.
Yes.
You're not quite sure who's finished, who hasn't. And so he wrote in a word. I won't say what it is because this puzzle is going to be published over the next few weeks. Yep. Anyway, he wrote in a word. And then as he sat there, having handed in his paper, he thought of another possibility that would fit the space and realised that that was actually the answer.
Oh, and you can't run up and snatch your paper back.
That's like my GCSEs all over again.
And I'm going to be having anxiety dreams about this, even though it hasn't happened to me yet. And so who did win?
So the winner was Matthew Marcus, who lives in Portland, Oregon.
Yes.
Wow.
He'd flown in from the States for it. And also to see family here. I mean, when he heard it was happening, he said, great, fine, I'll book my tickets now and I'll come and see the families. Well, base the trip around it.
Because you're not paying people to fly around the globe to do this, I presume.
We'll pay for them to have some, well, they'll pay for some sandwiches, in fact, but, you know.
Yeah. Sandwiches are provided at extra cost, yes.
Provided, but not flights. And he has definitely been recording some very fast timings on. He came second in 2018 when Mark made a mistake then. And so he was very, you know, very much focused on it. But in the event, in the grand final, there were three people and Matthew was not the first to finish. Peter Stegel, who finished first after about 14 minutes, and Matthew kept solving, kept playing away for another 5 minutes. He finished and handed his paper in. And then the third contestant, David Webb, kept going and just had one clue left when we timed out at 30 minutes. And then when the marking came, poor Peter also had made one mistake. So Matthew was the winner.
Gosh, yeah, that's exciting. Keeps it exciting right from the last minute.
But I mean, to give you an idea of how tough this puzzle was, the grand final in 2019, Mark polished it off in under 6 minutes, I think.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Not sure I could read all the clues in that.
No.
I like to enjoy and savour the clues.
Yes.
I get annoyed when my partner glances at it and goes, got two down after I've just picked up the paper.
Yeah.
And immediately glanced at it. No, I want to read out the clue or think it through and then process it. Mm. That's the speed. I mean, that's a whole different gear. Mm.
It's true. And it's not for everyone as well. I mean, I don't want to reduce it all to, how good you are at crosswords is how quickly you can do them, because some people actually, are very good at them, but like to take a bit longer over it. And actually, Mark and Simon Anthony, they co-host a YouTube channel, Cracking the Cryptic, where they review mainly Sudokus, but also some crosswords. And they have, blogged the final puzzle today and just taken the time to go back and explain all the clues and think about them. So, which you don't always do. You don't have time to do necessarily if you're trying to solve for speed.
Yes, I am impressed. But like you, Jen, I kind of like to take my time and appreciate the elegance of the clues. But my husband and I, we do use the Times app. And so I'm always also trying to beat his time, really. I'm enjoying it, but then with one eye to the clock.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Wordplay and puzzling is your main thing, but you have dipped into the world of quiz as well, haven't you? Quite successfully, with appearances on both Eggheads and everyone's favourite Only Connect.
Yes, I mean, you know, I'm a very occasional pub quizzer. I don't know all of the locations of Olympic Games and, mm-hmm. you know, US presidents or any of this. But when my friend Richard Heald, who creates the Square Roots puzzle we have in the Times now, suggested that we put together a team for Only Connect, it seemed like a good idea, and we did. And so that was in 2016 or something, I think. So we were the Cluesmiths. It was Series 11. Mm-hmm. And we got as far as the semi-final. And it was such good fun. And Victoria is as lovely as you would imagine, you know. Yes. And yeah, and all of the teams were great. It was, yeah, it was really good fun.
And we found some interesting facts about you. You did gardening for the army base, British Army base in Germany somewhere.
In Berlin.
And that you have been the voice of Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein and Vladimir Putin.
I mean, that's a consequence of working off screen in TV news, basically. You know, you need someone to voice over the translated yes. voiceovers of, you know, it might just be, you know, street porter in yes. Kabul or whatever. But if it's a world leader as well, someone has to do it. We don't hire in professional actors for that. It would just be one of the producers.
But you don't put on a funny accent. You don't your Vladimir Putin.
It's like, you get into character a little bit with
yes,
that.
I know. I could see that steely glint come into your eye there. And so what about Eggheads? What was your experience on that one?
Well, we thought, okay, well, let's give that a go as well. We didn't do well. I mean, we didn't win the money. It was less satisfying in a way. The format I found, it's sort of very brief. You don't get much time. My special subjects didn't come up, so I didn't have to go into the little box. I was just one of the couple of people left at the end with one question that I think we didn't get. So, I mean, we all felt at the end there was something that we didn't get and should have done.
Yeah, you know? It can be quite frustrating.
Yeah.
It really can. Shall I do a little, would you be out for a little quiz?
Yeah, why not?
But it is a quiz with a bit of cryptic in it, because what I've done is I've held back some crosswits. We were talking about crosswits earlier, Mick. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a grid. So you won't see the crossword puzzle itself, but I'm just going to give you the cryptic clues and then you have to tell me what links them.
They're mildly cryptic.
They're mildly cryptic. Would you like pen and paper? I think you're going to be...
I think you'll be fine. I needed a pen and paper, but...
I am going to give you a clue and the number of letters and they will all have something in common. So your first clue, it's to a six-letter word. He played Alf Garnett, Mr. Beatty. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's to a six-letter word. He played Alf Garnett, Mr. Beatty. Good. The next one, it's you're looking for a five-letter word here, guys. David, who wrote Changing Places in a Masonic Hall... David, who wrote Changing Places in a Masonic Hall? And that's a five-letter word. I think everybody's writing that down now. The next one, also a five-letter word. Green and yellow wire goes to ground.
Well, how many letters, sorry?
That is a five-letter word.
Five.
Okay, and then I'm going to give you one more. It's a four-letter word again. Adjust the watch between game and match, we hear. That's a four-letter word.
Aha, yeah, gotcha.
She's got it. She's got it. He's got it.
Oh, got the connection.
Got the connection.
I haven't got all the clues, though.
Okay, so do you want to talk us through the board, Jen? So talk us through the clues. He played Alf Garnett, Mr. Beatty.
Warren.
It is indeed.
Warren, was it Warren Mitchell?
Yes, Warren Mitchell
and
played Alf Garnett.
Warren Beatty.
And Warren Beatty, famous swordsman of Hollywood, yes. David, who wrote Changing Places in a Masonic Hall.
Lodge.
It is David Lodge, that's right. A Masonic Hall is a lodge. David Lodge wrote Changing Places amongst many other excellent books. Green and yellow wire goes to ground. What have we got for that one?
Earth
indeed, yes. And then adjust the watch between game and match, we hear. It's a four-letter word.
Set, double
it
T,
is
we hear.
Set.
That's cryptic crossword classic.
Yeah, so that should have led you to the connection, which is, you can both say it on the count of three, one, two, three.
Animal Homes.
In is Animal Homes.
Sherlock's
well.
Brother.
So that was
good. They're very cute, aren't they? They still stand up the questions on crosswords.
You win, though.
I think we're working as a team.
Yes, exactly.
Let's claim we're a team on that one.
Crossword was the winner at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So now that, obviously crossword's a huge part of your life, but there's another little thing that I really wanted to talk about, which is that you also write limericks.
Yes. I haven't been doing it so much recently, but I started writing limericks on Twitter in 2011. I was quite into Twitter. It was still fairly new then, I suppose, a few years old. And I was just looking at things you could do, and I thought it was still you were still limited to 140 characters. So I thought, I wonder if you could write a limerick in it. And I played about it. I realised that you could. So I had a quick look around to see if anyone else was doing it, and I stumbled across the fact that that day was National Limerick Day.
Wow, spooky.
National Limerick Day marks Edward Lear's birthday, and that was his 199th birthday.
Oh, wow.
So I thought, this was obviously serendipity, I thought, well, I'll do it for a year. I'll see if I can write a limerick a day about the news on Twitter. Yeah. I just got hooked, so I just carried on doing it after that.
Yes.
I've tailed off a little bit recently, partly because actually that was a good outlet when my day job was in news.
Yes.
And now that I'm more embroiled in puzzles and wordplay as my day job, I've got other sort of outlets for that, and in a way less time to think about limericks. And also just because Twitter is a less attractive place than
sadly it
was.
It's not even Twitter anymore. That's a sad fact, isn't it?
So I seem to be doing one every few weeks at the moment.
Oh, but it's still nice to get a limerick whenever.
I was trying to remember. I was trying to see if I could remember one about Peter Bone from last week. Because that's the sort of gift that you can't really.
You can repurpose it for Michelle Moan as well. I mean, you know this.
But as a result of that as well, I wrote two limerick history books.
Oh, wow.
There was an old geezer called Caesar, History of the World in 100 Limericks. And then there was A Man with Six Wives, which was a sort of history of kings and queens.
Oh, nice. Oh, well, definitely we would encourage our listeners to send in limericks, because there's absolutely nothing I love more than a limerick, especially a dirty one, guys.
Dirty? I think factual ones, because it's a good way to remember things. I think if you're struggling to remember, giving something the rhythm and a rhyme, it's perfect.
I know, we listen as we limerick, and we learn as we limerick. It's, to me, I think that it's such an inspiring story of someone who was great at doing one thing and has also found the other thing that they're great at doing and managed to marry the two. That is such a lovely story, isn't it?
Marvellous. It very rarely happens.
Yeah, exactly. Sort of hobbies and jobs and, you know, the whole thing working together so nicely.
Yeah, I mean, it was all sort of a worry when I started, I suppose, because if you, like, enjoy doing something in your spare time, do you actually want to do it all the time? Because in a way, plan B was, at some point, probably I would have given up the day job and just tried to be a full-time crossword compiler, which, you know, and I know people who do that. You have to write a lot of crosswords to make a living out of it.
Yes.
So the fear then is that it becomes a production line. Of course, the funny thing about my job now is that I actually don't write very many crosswords. and people say to me, like, oh, do you write all the puzzles in there? No.
Yeah, it's purely a supervisory capacity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to solve all or most of the crosswords because I like solving crosswords. Yeah. I'd want to do it anyway. And occasionally, if I might just spot something that's wrong. I don't interfere, you know, in editorial grounds. But obviously, it's good to have a second pair of eyes, you know, in case of mistakes. But some of the other puzzles, I mean, I'm really just checking the right day's puzzle is on the page. I'm not good enough at some of the logic puzzles to do all of those anyway, or at least it would take a very long time.
I mean some of them absolutely baffle me. I mean, obviously crosswords have made it onto television with Crosswits, which we are now going to campaign to bring back.
Okay.
The internet really has revolutionized our relationship with puzzles, hasn't it? Because you know, every now and then now you get some huge phenomenon in puzzling, whereas it used to be that you'd get your puzzler book to take on holiday with you, but now people are doing puzzles all the time on the go. And I mean, would you say your app draws people to the paper?
I don't think it's necessarily that way around. We publish puzzles in the paper and on the website and on the apps. The online offering has slightly followed what's in the paper, but I think if you look at it now, you have to think more and more people are doing puzzles online or on apps, and that's where your future audiences are coming from, whether it's news or puzzles or whatever. If you're in publishing in that sense, you are looking at developing the online. And you know, if you look at something like Wordle, there's obviously a particular interest in puzzles that are interactive in a way that you can't reproduce in paper, or they really work better. Quite a lot of puzzles that we have anyway work better, or certainly in different ways. You know, something like Polygon or something, you know, really works better in the online application than on paper. So yes, I think it's not a question of the apps drawing people to the paper so much as all of it drawing people to subscribe because they want more puzzles.
I mean, do you think the New York Times sort of taking Wordle, do you think that was a sort of commercially sound move?
I mean, I can't speak for really whether it was commercially sound, but I think what it really did was establish them, their place as a real leader in the world of puzzles. And happily for me, I suppose, made everyone else sit up and take notice and go, oh, wait a minute, you know, this actually could be something that's quite important. I mean, yeah. I read stats years ago that the New York Times was saying that the things that drove most people to subscribe were puzzles and cookery. You know. So, yeah, I think if that makes people value puzzles more, then that's really important, rather than just seeing them as sort of as some sort of add-on, really.
Yeah. Well, now, we do love puzzles, and I am going to, before we let you go, take you back to a puzzle boom of the early 2000s, the Sudoku craze. Oh. Do you remember how massive Sudoku was?
I used to buy the paper just for Sudoku.
Yeah.
Just to have another go at it. I've messed it up the first time. I've done it in pension.
Do you know about how it started here?
Oh, no, tell us.
There are some slightly different conflicting versions of this, but what's certain is that the Times was the first newspaper to bring Sudoku here, and really the first, I think, to take it out of Japan in 2004. So we will be celebrating the 20th anniversary of Sudoku next year, believe it or not, the boom you're talking about. A friend I used to work with, her uncle was the man who did this, Mr. Gould, and he'd been working in Asia and seen this puzzle and thought it might catch on. And as she related the story to me recently, he mocked up a page of the Times puzzle page with a Sudoku on it, came and sat in the lobby and said that he wanted to see the editor, or the features editor. And someone was sent down to get rid of him. And eventually they said, oh, well, actually, this looks quite interesting. Come on up.
Oh, yes, the power.
And persistence
Sudoku
paid off. But what he had done, apparently, he was prepared to give his puzzles away for free as long as the name of his Sudoku website, I think he got sudoku.com or whatever, was put in. And so it wasn't something just in one paper. It then spread into all of the papers.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. And
else.
Beyond, exactly.
Yeah, the killer Sudoku.
Because what I am going to do with you now is I have been watching Sudoku with Eamon Holmes.
I forgot all about that, I'll be honest.
No, okay.
At the height of the Sudoku, in fact, not at the height, of obviously slightly behind the times, because that's how it works on television, isn't
commissioning,
it?
Commissioning, yes.
So 2004 was when Sudoku hit our shores, and 2005 and 2006, there were four series of Sudoku with Eamon Holmes. And I do recommend, if anyone wants to watch it, it's such a lovely little sort of snapshot of the early 2000s. Eamon looks very different, and the world was a very different place.
It was.
You're going to ask us a question from a Sudoku puzzle.
Well, do you know...
Nine.
What goes in between the four and the six?
That was the thing they very, very cleverly did, was you were watching people doing a Sudoku, but they put general knowledge questions
there
in between it.
It's two of my favourite things together.
But yeah, the fact that a very large part of the show is just people standing there going, four, two, six, and they're quite small grids, so they're really quite easily solvable. So you start off, first round is just a 4x4 grid, and they have to be fastest to get the right number. So they look at the grid and then they buzz in when they know the number. Okay. And then they get general knowledge questions. And then it gets a little bit bigger and you get 6x6 grids. But I thought I'd take some of the questions because they, like the Sudoku craze, are quite specific to the time. So I thought, let's cast our minds back to 2005 to 2006. I don't know if this is 2005 or 2006, but which golf course hosted this year's Ryder Cup? I wouldn't have had a clue at the time. I certainly don't have a clue now, but they were very confident. The two Northern Irish players on the episode that I saw.
Belfry.
It wasn't the Belfry. It was somewhere I've never heard of.
Oh.
But I just thought if you did know a lot about golf.
Medina.
No, Mick's looking at it. It was the K Club. Where's that?
America somewhere. Yeah, probably.
K Club. Okay. Girls Aloud singer Cheryl Tweedy recently married which football player?
Sorry, that really didn't
recently in 2004?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Ashley Cole.
It was Ashley Cole.
Oh, I forgot she was Tweedy.
Yes, I know. That's the thing.
Who was elected the new leader of the Liberal Democrats this year?
Oh, wow. Wow.
I mean, it would obviously help if I could tell you which year it was. It was Min Campbell. That's right. So that would tell you which year it was. In which comedy series has James Dreyfus just replaced Ardal O'Hanlon as Thermo Man?
My Hero.
Yes, it is My Hero. Yeah. And I'll just give you another...
This is time travel through quiz.
It is extraordinary, isn't it? This is another very much of its time. Which singer's European tour this year was called Close Encounters? So there was a singer who was on tour around Europe. His show was called Close Encounters.
Madonna.
Even he probably doesn't remember it now. Yeah, he probably wouldn't even know.
Is he still touring?
He is still touring.
Oh, Bruce Springsteen.
I'm just going to tell you. It was Robbie Williams.
Oh. He's not been on tour a while.
Early
Yeah, he wouldn't have remembered.
I enjoyed stepping back in time with you. And maybe it's time for a revival of Sudoku.
Just watching people puzzle in real time.
It is very funny. I do recommend that you check that out on YouTube. One last question, Mick. Could you make it so that if you could tweak the crossword app so that I always finish before my husband does anyway?
Of course, yes. I have that power.
That would be amazing. It's been so great to talk to you, and thank you for telling us all about your fascinating job and life.
Great. Thanks very much.
Oh, what a treat it was to talk to Mick. And it's really given me, this show has given me the absolute urge to go out and find a crossword I haven't done yet.
Yeah, let's go and get every paper.
Yes.
Do it competitively.
Oh, God, I'd love that. Yes. If you see us, if you're anywhere in the Soho area on the night of recording this, you'll see us feverishly beavering away at our cryptic crosswords. Do come up and say hi. I mean, you can't because it'll be in the past. But anyway, next time you see us, do a crossword with us. So thank you to Mick, and thank you to our lovely producer, Amanda, as always. And thank you to you, Jenny Ryan. And we'll see you next time for another episode of...
Your favourite podcast, Fingers on Buzzers.
Whoop.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Buzz.